This brings us to our next story. This is a story about another Texas girl discovering her dark side. We have arrived at Act 3 of our program, The Evil Within. And we are pleased to welcome back to This American Life, writer Julie Showalter.
I was raised a Baptist, a Southern Baptist in West Texas, so I always knew that I was a sinner. But it wasn't until Halloween Day in the fourth grade that I thought of myself as a sinful being. Before that, sin was something that could be overcome through hard work, prayer, reading the Bible, and thinking of a way out of coveting Tommy Sue Bailey's new Madame Alexander doll. Afterwards, I knew sin was part of me, in every molecule of my body, and I could never get rid of it. I was very excited about going to school on Halloween Day. Mother had decided I could look like Daisy May Yoakum, Little Abner's wife in the funny papers. She cut off and fringed a pair of old jeans. She found a peasant blouse, which we ripped, then pinned together with a diaper pin. She put my hair in pigtails and painted freckles on my nose. When she finished, she said, "You look so cute. Let's take a picture to send to your daddy." Daddy lived 80 miles away in Amarillo. He visited pretty often now, and he and Mother wrote letters. I smiled my best smile for the picture, a smile that would show Daddy what a good, pretty girl I was, and make him want to come home to stay. The next day, I went to school, bare-legged, barefooted, bare-shouldered, knowing that about half my friends would have ripped up one of their father's old dress shirts and come as bums, and the other half would have dug out old cowboy guns and cowboy hats and called that a costume. I thought I had a chance at the prize. I imagined my teacher's reaction. "Janice, you're just the cutest thing," she'd say, "and so clever." Maybe she'd hug me like she did sometimes. Mrs. Wells was the first teacher I idolized. She was young and pretty, sweet and vivacious. She dressed in pastels and smelled like cotton candy. She had just married, and her husband was a part-time football coach and a part-time Baptist minister. For a while, I wished my mother would die and she'd adopt me, but I realized that was a sinful thought. So, I wished that there was some kind of big sister organization, and she'd be my big sister, and maybe my mother would decide I should live with her because she lived closer to church or something. On Halloween, I stopped just inside the classroom door, waiting for her to see me. Posing a little, excited for her reaction. When she turned, her mouth dropped open. "Janice Ray Hopewell, what are you thinking of? That outfit is indecent. It's obscene. You look like a little temptress. Why, you're practically naked." A temptress? Naked? I didn't know I was naked. Then I thought of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and how they didn't know they were naked. I looked down at my feet and legs and saw them as the feet and legs of a naked temptress. While Mrs. Wells talked to me, she pulled Ernesto Rodriguez's chair to the back. "Janice, sit down in the corner. No, not at your desk. It's right in front, where anyone walking by can see you. Sit in the back here. Patsy, get the blanket out of the closet. She can cover herself with that. Leon, go get the principal. Tell him it's an emergency. Cover up, Janice. You'll cause sinful thoughts." I wrapped the blanket around myself. I remembered asking my Sunday school teacher, "How could it have been all bad for Adam and Eve to eat the apple since they got knowledge of good and evil, not just evil?" And she said, "They really just got knowledge of evil. Everything had been good up to then." I pulled my feet up under the blanket. The principal came in with Leon Anderson right behind him. "What is it, Mrs. Wells? Is one of the children hurt?" Mrs. Wells blushed. "I guess it's not really an urgent emergency. I just felt we had to do something right away. Janice, show him your costume." I couldn't believe it. She'd said I was naked, and now she wanted me to show the principal and the whole class. "Janice Ray, take that blanket off." I stood up and put the blanket on the chair behind me. I looked at the floor. After a minute, the principal said, "Well, there is a requirement that children wear shoes to school for health reasons, but if she stays off the playground, I don't think anything will happen in just one day. Janice, you tell your mother that your costume next year has to include shoes." Mrs. Wells grabbed his arm. "Can I talk to you in the hall?" I could see them talking outside the door as I put the blanket back around me. At first, the principal looked like something was funny, but Mrs. Wells didn't calm down. Then he looked mad and did the rest of the talking. When Mrs. Wells came back in, she walked over to me and jerked the blanket away. "Janice, give me the blanket. It seems I have overreacted." Her face was red, and she sounded like she was reciting a lesson. She didn't look at me. "There's nothing inappropriate about your costume, although bare feet are extremely unhygienic. Go to your regular seat." "Can I keep the blanket?" "No, you may not keep the blanket. There's absolutely nothing wrong with your costume. In fact, I think you should stand up in front of the class so we'll all have a chance to look at it. It will be good for all of us to see what's acceptable so we don't overreact again." For 15 minutes, she made me stand there while the other kids looked at me and giggled behind their hands. I thought about all the temptresses I knew, about Bathsheba and Delilah, and about Salome, who danced nearly naked so they'd cut off John the Baptist's head. I thought of the movie ads with Carol Baker in baby doll pajamas sucking her thumb that all the preachers were mad about. And I thought about Marilyn Monroe with her skirt blowing up, looking happy, and how everyone said Joe DiMaggio had divorced her because her skirt blew up. And if part of me was excited that I could be a temptress like Eve and Bathsheba and Delilah and Salome and Carol Baker and Marilyn Monroe, and maybe even like Elizabeth Taylor, most of me was horrified that I was sinful and causing sin in others without even knowing how or why. It was just something I was, not something I did or even thought. I thought of Daddy seeing the picture of me nearly naked, and I knew I'd ruined everything. He wouldn't think I was a good, sweet girl anymore. No one who knew about the costume would ever think I was a good girl again. I got to spend the whole day at school bare-legged, barefooted, bare-shouldered, feeling totally naked. At recess and lunch, I rushed to the bathroom, locked myself in a stall, and pulled my feet up so their nakedness wouldn't show. The next time Daddy came to see us, I was embarrassed and stayed in my room. And 6 months later, when Jimmy Riga pulled me into an alley and kissed me, I let him, even though I liked Leon Anderson. And the next day, I saw Jimmy whispering to Leon and knew they were talking about me. And 2 years later, when the principal at my new school got the sixth grade girls alone in the closet and rubbed all up and down our fronts, I was the only one who didn't tell her mother, because he was a deacon at the First Baptist Church, and I was a temptress.
Julie Showalter's short story first appeared in Other Voices, a literary journal published by the University of Illinois in Chicago. She's the author of the forthcoming novel, Needlework,